Welcome to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells, and I'm here with...
Here with Jared.
How you doing, Jared?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I think it's going to be a nice day. I wasn't 100% sure. Yesterday was not a great day. Day before was amazing.
Yeah.
Day before was amazing. And Tommy actually took Friday off, so we got a lot of the physical stuff done, a lot of mulching and that kind of thing. Yesterday, I spent almost the whole day in the greenhouse transplanting mostly tomatoes. I did a lot of different kinds of tomatoes. Jack from Metuchen sent me some very interesting tomato seeds, and I had bought some tomato seeds. I have a lot of nice tomato plants that will be available for the plant exchange, so that'll be fun. I also had this rather robust succulent. I don't know that I ever knew its name. My guess is it's a Haworthia, but I couldn't swear to that. And it was just so enormous in the pot. It looked like a muffin top. You know, Jared, the muffin tops?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and the pot looked like the bottom of the muffin, and it was like completely overgrown, the top of the pot. And it was a bunch of something like rosettes, sort of. And I pulled it out of the pot. And the roots only went down halfway in the pot. The pot was full of ants. So many ants. They went everywhere as I pulled the plant out of the pot. So I put the pot outside and let the ants, you know, find a new home. Didn't want to hurt the ants. Ants are good. And you could see them carrying the eggs and all that. They were really very upset that I disturbed them. I felt bad I disturbed them. But anyway, so I went back to the plant. The plant was just so enormous. I divided it. I used my very cool knife. We can thank Danny from Metuchen for that, that she introduced me to that knife, and Tommy sought her and got me the knife for Christmas. I felt very cool, Jared. I felt very cool because I actually put a belt on. I was wearing work pants that wouldn't stay up, so I put a belt on. As soon as I put the belt on, I realized I could put the leather holster on my belt. Made me feel like Crocodile Dundee, you know, with this really cool knife. So I was able to pull my knife out of my holster and cut this thing into pieces. And then all the little pieces fell off. So I had a ton of little pieces, individual plant-like pieces, as well as sections of the root system. I got one fairly large one in a beautiful new clay pot that has a not traditional shape, a little shorter, a little wider, with a decorative line around it, and then a smaller one in a similar pot. And then after I did those two for me, and the bigger one is one I'll keep, and the smaller one is one that I will use as a hostess gift if I go someplace after it gets reestablished in the pot. After I did those two for me, I did two more big ones in 6-inch pots and five small ones in 3-inch pots. That's a lot of plants out of one pot.
Yeah.
So I only need two for me to keep, and the rest will go into the plant exchange. And I want to thank, who was it who dropped me off pots last week?
That was...
Was it Hope?
Hope, yes.
Well, thank you, Hope, because I used quite a few of the pots that you dropped off, and especially the little ones, and I have a few left that I will continue to use. Thank you, because that was great. I don't like to give my clay pots away. I will, you know, if the plant has to stay in the pot, but I prefer to give away plastic pots. So a lot of those succulents are in the plastic pots that Hope left me, so thank you very much for that. So that was quite a project. It was the last thing I was going to do. I thought it wouldn't be any big deal. I'd pull it out of the pot. I'd divide it in quarters and repot it. That's not what happened. It was everywhere. So anyway, I have a bunch of those. So that was good. And then the very last thing I did at the end of the planting was I finally got my pansies in, all the containers in the Garden of Ancient Ruins. And Garden of Ancient Ruins is looking amazing, absolutely amazing. I'm very excited with what's going on in there. And the containers look, you know, so much better now that they're potted up with pansies. I wanted them to look good. I think I need a hanging basket of pansies, which I will pick up when I go see Mel. We should get Mel on the phone. Can you give her a call?
Work on that.
Okay. So I should also tell you that Barty Farms still offers your family the best of everything. Farm fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh baked pies and breads, international cheeses, gourmet and organic food items, and Jersey dairy milk. Barty Farms, 118 years old and still growing. And my Tibochina is looking terrific. It's very small because, you know, I cut it way back and I fertilized it pretty heavily, but it's looking, starting to look compact but robust. The leaves are nice size. It's a nice green color. It's looking good. So remember, my Tibochina came from Barty Farms. I've had it for years. She is a very finicky plant, but has managed to survive for years and gives me the most fabulous purple flowers. So it's recovering. It's spring. It's in recovery mode. My lemon tree, which I got many lemons from this year, I also cut way back, and it has finally started to leaf out and put out a few flowers, and it's looking really good. Also, I was starting to worry because it wasn't really leafing out at all, but it has done that. My akuba, which is outside the greenhouse in the little nook between the greenhouse and the back door, that poor thing. It got snow dumped on it and half the branches broke. And then I put a piece of fencing behind it attached to the house to block the under the stairs and under the back porch. Not that I wanted to completely block it because the dogs like to go under there, especially in the summer because it's, you know, in the shade and they can dig in the dirt and they like it. But it's kind of ugly. So I took a piece of fencing that I had left over from when they put the fence up on the property and I hung it on. Well, Tommy hung it for me on the wall, and it's hung in a way that I can take it off so that if I need to get under there or if I want to store anything under there, I can do that. But the chicken really likes to go under there too. Goldie, the handicapped chicken that gets to go outside the cage during the day when I'm around. So I needed to be able to access it. But in the process of figuring out how to hang it, it fell on the akuba also, breaking another major branch. So the poor akuba, which had a little trouble getting established last year, needed a lot of water, was looking pretty good and had done some growing and was, now it's about 40% of the size that it was, but it is sending out new growth. It should fill in. It's a little lopsided. I hate to try to straighten it out. If I took off the one big branch that was left, there wouldn't have been anything. But it is sending out new growth that will recover. So I'm relieved about that. On the not so positive note, you know that cold snap that we had and people were covering things up? Jared, you know when was that? Like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was. I think so.
It was about 2 weeks ago and it was really cold. Well, one morning I went out and my wheelbarrow had a block of ice in it. So, you know, it had gotten really cold. And my dead trees that are out there as trellises, the ones that I installed dead, and I have the kiwi vines growing up them, you know, well, they did really well last year, except for the male. I have two females and one male. And the male, I think Kusa peed on it. And it was just a little 6-inch plant. They were all little 6-inch plants, except that the females were not peed on, and they grew, and they're actually over 4 feet, at least 4 feet length of vine wrapped around the dead trees, which is exactly what they were supposed to do. But the male died. Just one day it turned completely black, and it died, and that was the only thing I could think of because Kusa does aim that low. He's a little guy. And so I waited until the fall to replace it. And I was very excited because it was coming out. It was all in leaf. Not a lot of leaves, but it was definitely the 6-8-inch length of vine that was there probably had 8 or 10 buds that were popping out. Well, after the cold, they all turned black. And they turned black on both females as well. But they're coming back. And the little male guy, I think it was just too little to handle that, and it's not coming back as of yet. I'll give it a little bit more time, but I may have to replace it again. If I don't replace it, if I don't have a male for pollen, I won't get any of the fruit. I'm not sure that I'm going to get the fruit this year. It might be another year or so before I get the fruit, but I won't get any if I don't have any male pollen. So that was really a little disturbing. So we have Mel.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I have to come see you today. I need more pansies.
Okay, great. We still have pansies.
And do you have any hanging baskets? I need one hanging basket of pansies. Do you have?
I don't have any hanging baskets of pansies, but I do have beautiful hanging baskets.
Well, but that you have pansies, right? So I could make my own basket. I could always do that.
You absolutely can.
Yeah, so I might do that. Do you have anything new in? Anything new and exciting? It is spring, finally, thank goodness.
Well, we do have a lot of new items into the garden center. We unpacked some beautiful pottery this week. We brought in a lot of shrubs from our greenhouses. We have a lot. The greenhouse at the store is bursting with annuals and houseplants. The outside has all the cool crop annuals, and I say that because this coming week, from Wednesday to Sunday, it will be in the 30s at night.
Oh,
so you have to be super careful. We are trying only, and as usual, we do this. We only bring up the things that we feel the weather will permit you to plant. So right now we have things like geraniums, petunias, verbenas, million bells. Our baskets that we have are a mix of all of that. So if you took those baskets and put them outside, those nights will be fine for them. We're holding back on things like impatiens and begonias and, salvias and stuff like that, because this week those plants will not tolerate that. And I know people are itching to get their vegetable gardens in, but honestly, don't do it. It'll actually slow your plants down if you plant them this week. Just wait another week. The rule of thumb in New Jersey is, May 15th. There's a reason for that, because New Jersey loves to snap us with these cold nights.
Yes. Well, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but my male kiwi vine that I already replaced once was leafing out, and we had that cold snap 2 weeks ago. I don't think it survived. It's the females, which were much better established, are leafing out again. But the little black leaves on the little baby male vine, which survived the winter and was leafing out nicely, I don't think it's going to make it. That unexpected cold. Things are different when they're completely dormant than when they're trying to get out of dormancy. They're much more vulnerable. And
yeah.
I also have a pomegranate that I'm just, it's not doing anything yet. I'm giving it a chance before I yank it, but I am definitely concerned that it's not going to make it through. And it did so well last year. It really tripled in size, and it was really looking good, and it's in a protected spot. But
oh boy,
I don't think it's going to make it. I don't think it's going to make it.
Well, don't count it out yet, because I just read that April, there's been more than half of the days have been below normal temperature. So even my customers are coming in with questions like, why isn't this leafing out, and how come I haven't seen this yet? And I said, because we have March weather in April.
We absolutely do. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, don't expect things to be flourishing. We haven't had any consistent warm days. We get a pop here and there, but that doesn't, induce the plants to come alive again. So
even my peas are feeling it. They're all up, but they've stopped growing at, 4 inches.
Yes.
So I think, if we get a few consecutive warm days, they'll really shoot up. But I got them in at the right time, and they germinated nicely, but the weather's been too cold for them to take off. All right, I have an important question for you.
Last
year, I bought two small pulmonarias from you, the little lungworts. They were so pretty. And I put them in because I had a big pulmonaria that I bought someplace else. And I loved it, and so I wanted to add to it. Well, the big one died, and your little ones are thriving and in full bloom.
Oh, they're beautiful.
They are.
They always do well for me.
Well,
you got to remember.
Just didn't
make it. The perennials that we grow right in our greenhouses around the corner from our store. So they're acclimated to our, climate. So.
Well.
And we don't spray anything on our plants. Everything's grown naturally, so. I feel like, you know, it gives them a great start.
So in addition to the pansies that I definitely need, I think I want to get some more of your pulmonarias so that
they're beautiful
fill
right
in.
Now.
Yeah, they're so pretty, and the foliage stays nice, and they're a little bit shade tolerant, and they'll, you know, they'll be attractive all summer long, even when they're not blooming. They're still very interesting with their speckled foliage, and I really like them a lot. So I need to replace them as well. So anything new and different you want to talk about?
No, we're just, you know, we're chugging along here. We're waiting for the weather to break. Our greenhouses are bursting with so many beautiful plants, annuals and perennials.
Oh, I have an important question. Do you have
yes,
any
ma'am.
Staghorn ferns?
Yes, I do, and they're beautiful.
Oh, my girlfriend really wants one. Oh, I have to get her
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
good.
She's a little, she's actually a mini me. She's 25, and she loves to cook, and she loves to garden, and she works with me sometimes, and she's doing some remedial pruning for a cousin of mine. I think there's an opportunity there for people that really know how to prune properly without. my cousin had a hedge of multiple kinds of azaleas and rhododendrons, a couple of andromedas thrown in, and it's been in the ground for like 25 years. And it used to undulate with the different sizes of the plants, but everything grew and grew and grew. And eventually his lawn mowing person just sheared them all to be
oh
the
my
size.
Goodness.
So they have all these little stumps sticking out, and they're all like hollow on the inside. And so he asked my opinion of what to do and asked me if I could help him. And I said, well, you know, I know somebody, so I brought my little friend over, and she has a good background, but, you know, this was kind of a big job, so I worked with her for a day, and we kind of separated the bushes and got out all the dead and got rid of all the stupid stumps and tried to get a little undulation back in. So I think there's an opportunity for somebody or for anybody that knows how to prune properly to do some of this corrective pruning rather than pull everything out and start over, because you have to do something because they just get really ugly looking. Do you know anybody else? Do you know anybody else who does that?
I don't. I mean, I know like some of the more professional landscapers are skilled with pruning, but I don't really know anybody personally.
Well, that might mean that there's an opportunity there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to give some thought because I think she might want to do that as a little bit of a career, you know, to come in.
Side hustle or, yeah.
So
good.
All right. Well, I'm going to come visit you because I need all those things. So you're going to be around?
I will be around all day, ma'am.
Okay. Before you go, though, you should tell everybody who you are and why you're calling me and where you're located in case people want to find you.
So I'm Melinda from Madden Family Farms, and we're located at 4312 Route 27 in Princeton, New Jersey. We're a locally grown garden center. We've been in business for 27 years, and everything we grow is grown on our farm around the corner, and it's beautiful.
Well, okay. I'm going to just question that a little bit. I know the name of your farm is Madden Family Farm, but let's be honest, it's you. You started this. You started this business. You're there all the time. You do all the work. Your kids help. Maybe your husband shows up once in a while. But this is Mel's family farm. This is you. And you are fun and talented.
Thank you,
and
Pat.
Your stuff is awesome. And, you know, they say you're not supposed to, like, do business with friends because, you know, it can ruin your friendship. But when that's what
Who
they
said
say.
That?
It's a saying. It's a thing. But I have found that when you start out knowing somebody in business, as how I started out knowing you professionally, and you come to respect them professionally, you can become great friends.
We are great friends.
We are great friends. We are great friends.
We're going to have a great time. We have to do some stuff this summer when I slow down.
Absolutely. But really, your stuff always looks perfect. So I can say that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, I wouldn't say that if it wasn't true, because I'm a totally honest person.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Right,
but I can't take all the credit. I have so many wonderful people that work for me.
And you can't do anything without that for sure. But
they're the best. They really are.
But the person in charge sets the tone, and that's you.
Thank you so much, Peg.
All right.
Well, I really appreciate that.
All right. Well, you have a great day, and I'll come visit you in a little while, and we'll have a little bit of fun, and I'll pick up the stuff I need.
Okay. Terrific. Thanks so much for calling.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Should I go right to my other call? Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I made pasta sauce last night, a nice gravy with...
That's always good.
Well, you know what happened? I made meatloaf and I overcooked it. And I...
Yes.
I told you that. Well, I cut it up. Well, I put it in the freezer and took it out last night. And I cut it into meat cubes instead of meatballs. And I put it in the sauce. I put some sausage in there and peppers and celery and onions and garlic and all the stuff and the mushrooms. And I cooked it for about 2 hours. Those meat cubes are amazing. So I brought some for Jack Otterbein because he's still a little bit laid up. So I'm going to pop in and visit him on my way home and give him something for a nice dinner. So,
excellent. And we have settled this debate, I think, before in studio and off the air. It's gravy. Once meat hits it, it's officially gravy.
Yes, so, that's correct. That's,
just so we're clear.
Yes, just so we're clear. That's pretty much what we have determined.
I'm sure Jared agrees. I know he's a well-versed foodie as well. I was just telling him during the break about the asparagus, which I'm sure we'll get to, but I'm sure Jared's on deck with us. It's gravy once the meat hits it.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that one.
Yeah, I think that...
I know better.
After years of discussion, that is the final conclusion that we have come to. So asparagus is in. I have some purple asparagus, just a few, but I
was just going to ask you if you had any sprigs coming up.
Yes, I do, and they look really good this year, really nice and healthy and robust, so I'm glad it took me a little bit. So, yeah, I'm very happy about that. So you have asparagus ready. Can people come buy asparagus?
Absolutely. We just had our opening day yesterday, so we officially kicked off our 2022 Jersey Fresh season. So asparagus is one of the first vegetables available as far as that's concerned. There's some of those other cold weather vegetables that you're aware of that are going to be ready soon, like spinach and some other greens. But right now, asparagus is the star, and we've been out there picking all week. It's been a little inconsistent, but as you and I know, and maybe the listeners don't know, you need to have consistent temperatures of 45 and above every night for a steady period of time, and that's what that asparagus likes. And then it gets growing a pretty good rate, and we got a couple rows left to walk this morning here, but we did spend the better part of yesterday afternoon harvesting, trimming and bunching, which you know how that process works, so we could have it available this morning at 10 o'clock when we open. So
that's good.
The first.
Well, your asparagus is amazing. It's really, really excellent. So,
well, thank you. It's been really good. I think part of the reason it's been so sweet the last week and a half on and off is because it's been cooler, but it's been warm enough during the day where it grows. So it's not getting sunbeat, and we're going out there right away. It's not staying out there.
Well, it's good to know that the spring is finally beginning to hit because not a lot of things are growing with gusto. My peas, I said earlier on the show, they're staying 4 inches tall. They've been 4 inches tall for a week and a half. We need some warm weather for them to shoot up. My spinach is up. My potatoes are up, but nothing's growing robustly. Everything is just sitting there. So I'm hoping we'll get a couple warm days and all that stuff will take off. And I'm almost done with all the ornamental stuff. So I can really buckle down this week and get the rest of the vegetable garden planted, or at least get the beds ready to put everything in.
So I'm sure you know this too, and you've expressed it to your listeners. I try to listen every week, but I know you've expressed this recently that a lot of this stuff is weather dependent, and you know that better than anyone. So I'm sure you know it's a lot of it is once we hit a steady patch of weather, stuff's just going to take off. So believe it or not, I'm kind of enjoying it right now at a little bit of a slower pace. I'm starting to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning again, just to get used to the long days. But I was out this morning and I told Jared, I can't believe how beautiful it is this morning. I mean, it's pretty much a picture perfect Sunday morning in the spring.
Oh, I have a very important question. How are the little ponies? Tell everybody about the little ponies.
Oh, yeah, so not to take away from vegetables, but yes, we did do a rescue operation last Sunday on Easter. We got the call. Actually, Donna got the call. She was in Las Vegas on Saturday visiting her daughter for some personal reasons. Everybody's okay now. And she got a call from the rescue. The rescue is based in Michigan, and Donna was talking to a woman who was in New York State at one of these sales. So she purchased the animals to rescue them because they were sick, brought them back to her place an hour over into Michigan, and then called us here, called me in New Jersey. So Sunday morning, I drove up and rescued Bonnie and Clyde, these two little paint ponies, and King Henry the donkey, and brought them back on Easter Day. So that was our Easter. But it was amazing. One person in Las Vegas, one person in Michigan, the other in New York and Massachusetts. And I'm down in New Jersey, and it's like one of those times when you're like, thank God for cell phones and the internet.
So you brought, how are they doing? You sent me pictures. Those little ponies were so cute. I wish I could take them home. They're just adorable. Very little, like miniature. They're just as cute as can be.
They're either dwarf ponies or just very young minis. I think they're about a year, but they'll grow a little more. They are, they're doing well. They're doing much better. The vet was out. We gave them just a general antibiotic and a once-over. And King Henry went to a clinic for an ultrasound, which a lot of times with donkeys, you can't detect certain things obvious. And he had a clean bill of health. So the next step is, you know, he's got to get gelded, and he'll be able to go out with others so he doesn't make more donkeys. And as nice as it is to have donkeys, we don't need to reproduce more at this time, and then King Henry will be available, or the other little ponies will be available for adoption.
Well, I hope that they get a wonderful home, and it was so nice of you to, I mean, we missed having you at our house. I still have your Easter basket, so we missed seeing you on Easter for sure, but that was such a nice thing to do, and they were just so cute, just as cute as could be, so I hope that...
No.
That they get a nice home. If, even though it can't be me, I hope that they get a really nice home soon.
No, and I agree. It would have been great to be for Easter, but believe it or not, I mean, it's been almost 10 years since we started this horse venture, and it's been pretty much 85 to 90% of the time it's rewarding and not stressful, and the rest of it is totally insane. But that's, I think when you're an owner of any business or you have multiple irons in the fire the way that we do and multiple commitments, I think sometimes things, you know, you're just on overload. But as a whole, it was very rewarding. We donated the time for transport, so there was no charge there. And we said, listen, take whatever we would charge you, just, you know, take it as a donation back to the rescue so they can get these little guys in a better situation.
Well,
so,
some hugs from me. And I hope maybe I can come out and see them in the next week or two. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, it'd be great to get you out before we get busy. I know we had you out a few years ago for the first time, so things have definitely changed since you've been there for the as far as the landscape of things. So it'd be great to have you. And a little bit warmer weather, I think, this time. Last time, I think it was still kind of cold when you came out.
Well, it would be nice to see all the critters. I haven't, you know, I miss my own donkeys. I hope that they're doing well. I have several checks and balances so that if something goes wrong, I'll be notified. So I'm assuming that they're all doing well over there. But
news is the best news in that regard.
Yeah, so that's absolutely true. All right, well, what can we look for in the produce world coming soon?
Well, coming soon, again, a lot of your greens are going to be ready. We should have lettuces, dandelion, escarole, fresh beets. That's all stuff that's on deck. The fresh spinaches, maybe an early variety of scallions. And I'm sure you'll touch on this later, they have this new technology. It's basically a greenhouse, but they call it a high tunnel because there's no fabric, and you can grow vegetables and fruit direct in the soil. So a lot of guys are growing strawberries in high tunnels because it's staying warmer consistently a little faster.
Yeah,
a lot of guys do tomatoes and things like that. So,
well, with strawberries, and the birds don't get them.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure after the break you can elaborate on that, because it is, to me, it's a fascinating subject, the high tunnel technology. I think conventional farming is getting to be a bit of a chore for a lot of the country and just the way the world right now. So there's all kinds of alternatives out there, hydroponics, and this new high tunnel technology seems to be a great way to get the most out of it, but still you're getting you're not wearing out the ground that you're using. So I think it all works hand in hand, and like I said, you can touch on it because you know more about that. But yeah, so we're open. It's another Jersey Fresh season. A lot of farm stands are going to be opening up, and again, I'll throw that statistic out there before I let you go. It's every year in New Jersey, at least 600 farm stands close up. So we need to do our best to keep local farmers going, support Jersey Fresh, support the Jersey farmer, and get out there. And on top of that, you're eating healthy. So you're kind of getting a few things accomplished there. And we appreciate everybody that comes out to our farm down here in Chesterfield.
Well, why don't you tell everybody where you are and what your hours are in case they want to come visit you?
Facebook.com/KatonaFarms. KatonaFarms.com. Jared can verify all that. 355 Ellisdale Road, Chesterfield. Beautiful country ride. We've had close to 24 of your fans come down in the last 3 years. It's been a real pleasure meeting fans, and they come down. They do make purchases, and they end up coming back. It's a little bit of a drive for some folks, but they really do enjoy it. It's a nice drive depending which way you come down. Take a ride to the countryside, and then, enjoy. I'm going to get some fresh Jersey asparagus.
All right, honey. Well, I need to see you because I need to give you your Easter basket. I know it's I know, but I'm the mom, and I like to make you Easter basket. You and your father and your sister, everybody gets an Easter basket. So we need to see you for that. And give those ponies some hugs for me. And I hope that we get to see you soon. And good luck with the asparagus.
Absolutely. And I will definitely try to get to see you this week so we can get some asparagus over to you, and make sure you get some over to Jared next Sunday.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds like a plan. All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Have a great rest of the show. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we probably need to take a break now, right? Okay. Let me give the phone number, 545-9282, outside the 732 area code. It's 1-888-545-9282. We have four open lines, and we'll be back after this.
Update about the forecast for your Sunday afternoon. Partly sunny. Now, temperatures will vary. We've got a little east wind at around 5 to 10 miles per hour, so it will be cooler next to Raritan Bay and along the Jersey Shore. However, as you go interior, north and west, temperatures will warm into the 60s, even close to 70 degrees in some places. For tonight, it's going to be mostly cloudy. Overnight lows 46, and then mostly cloudy tomorrow on Monday. Our highs for the day 60 to 65. At night, clouds near 50, a chance of some showers on Tuesday and Tuesday night, all the way up to near 70 on Tuesday. Wednesday, early showers, then mostly sunny highs near 60. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Fox Sports, New Jersey.
56 degrees in central Jersey.
Come out to Yankee Stadium on Friday, April 22nd, when the Yankees host the Cleveland Guardians for a great promotional giveaway. It's Yankees Lightweight Hoodie Night, presented by Ford. And the first 18,000 guests in attendance will receive a Yankees Lightweight Hoodie. For tickets, log on to Yankees.com/tickets. Don't miss Yankees Lightweight Hoodie Night when the Yankees face the Cleveland Guardians on Friday, April 22nd. Visit Yankees.com/tickets today.
Are you ready for some family fun? Have a ball with everyone. It's a slamming hit. Come on, get patriotic.
New York Yankees AA Baseball and Affordable Family Fun are back as the Somerset Patriots return home next week for a series against the Boston Red Sox affiliate. Join the Patriots for Bark in the Park, fireworks, giveaways, Unicorn Day, their first ever Zorros de Somerset game, and much more family fun. Don't miss Yankees number one prospect and Somerset County native Anthony Volpe, along with the rest of Major League Baseball's future stars. For tickets, visit SomersetPatriots.com or download the mobile app. Somerset Patriots, serious baseball, serious fun.
Pack your kids, your cap and glove. Somerset Patriots, you gotta love. It's a swimming hit. Come on, get patriotic.
Listen to Fox Sports New Jersey everywhere.
Everywhere.
Online at FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com. On the Fox Sports New Jersey app. And now on Odyssey.
Hey, my name's Jared Eastman, and you can catch me Sunday, 10:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. for all your favorite eSport-related content on Fox Sports New Jersey. Or go to FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com for a replay of our podcast.
We are Fox Sports!
Think it's safe to text or talk on your phone while you drive? No way, no how. Distracted driving is a danger to everyone on the road. From 2016 through 2020, 29% of fatal crashes in New Jersey involved driver inattention, according to the latest data from New Jersey State Police Fatal Motor Vehicle Crash Report. So forget the phone and mind the road. The fight to end distracted driving starts with you. Take the pledge at KMM.org. That's KMM.org. Funded by the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration.
This is another Health Minute brought to you by St. Peter's Healthcare System.
Medical emergencies are a part of life, and they don't stop during the COVID-19 pandemic. So it's good to know that St. Peter's University Hospital has separate treatment areas and stringent safety protocols in place to safely care for patients in their adult emergency department. St. Peter's Adult Emergency Department is staffed with trained emergency medicine physicians and nurses, all backed by leading-edge technology and state-of-the-art facilities. From stroke care to minor injuries, asthma attacks, fractures, and more, they're treating patients safely. And if you're experiencing any COVID-19 symptom, they'll get you screened and tested with faster turnaround times. Quoting Dr. Borislav Stoev, Chair of Emergency Medicine at St. Peter's, in an emergency, St. Peter's knows that every second counts because the sooner a patient is treated, the better. To learn more about the emergency department at St. Peter's, visit stpetershcs.com/emergency.
Livingston Park Nursery wants to help make your backyard the oasis you've always dreamed of. From organic mulches manufactured on site to natural stone products and the area's largest Cambridge paving stone display, Livingston Park Nursery has what you need to bring your vision to life. So come to one of their three locations in North Brunswick, Wall, or Toms River. Visit LivingstonParkNursery.com or come by today. That's LivingstonParkNursery.com.
Join Joel Katz each week as he chats with medical professionals, specialists, and more from Hackensack Meridian, JFK University Medical Center, JFK Johnson Rehabilitation Institute for Spotlight on Health. Saturdays at 8 a.m. on 1450 a.m. and 93.5 FM, Fox Sports, New Jersey.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells, and I'm here with...
You're here with Jared.
I think I should give the phone number, Jared.
Good idea.
Okay, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. And we do have four open lines, so if you call, we'll get you through right away. There is just so much going on. So last week, remember I mentioned that I found a hardy gardenia?
Yes.
And I was very excited because I had some hardy gardenias that were very small. And when they did not survive this winter. They were like in a 3-inch pot when I got them. They were really little. And I tried pampering them. And one of them actually I had had for a couple of years, but it wasn't really growing. It was just really little. So I was very excited that I found these three. And they were the variety called Daisy, which when I looked it up, turns out that it's one of the, it's considered the hardiest variety. And so I found a spot. I put it in the Garden of Ancient Ruins, and I went back to the big box store where I bought it on Sunday after the show. And guess what, Jared?
What?
There was only one left.
Oh.
I had wanted three. I like odd numbers. There had been a whole rack of them. And I was really surprised because I suspect most people wouldn't know what they were. But obviously, somebody recognize the value of what they were, and they were almost all gone. So I took the one and I brought it home and I planted it. And then on Monday, I went to my cousin's house to see how the pruning job was going on the poor hedge that had been shorn with the hedge shears, and suggested that this particular plant would work very well along the back of their property where it's a little bit shady, not completely shady, but a little bit shady. And the neighbors on the other side are doing a lot of construction and took down the row of arborvitae that was creating privacy. So this would fit in nicely with the other things that were there. They could fit them in, and also they bloom in like July, which is so nice because everything else is done, and then they would be blooming. So we called the big box store and asked them if they had any, and they said they could only be ordered. And I was like, wait a minute, you know. I had talked to the people at the other big box store, the one that I went to, and they said that they take no responsibility for the plants that are in the nursery area, that people bring them in, and so that they don't really know. I don't know how much of that is true. But I said, you know, I'm just going to make a guess that they could be out there, and whoever answers the phone doesn't know all the details of what plant material is out there if it's really supposed to be taken care of by somebody else. So we hopped in my truck and we went over to this other big box store, and they had the whole rack of the ones that I had seen. The identical rack was there and it was full and nobody had taken any. So I got four for my cousin and one more for me. I was thrilled. I've got them all in. They're all planted in a nice, you know, kind of, it's very it's balanced. It's not perfect symmetry. It's balanced, one on one side and two on the other side. And it just came out perfect. I'm just hoping that they thrive and that I'll get some white flowers out of them in the summer. So that was a success story. I found a couple of other things, though, too. I'll talk about that. But right now we're going to Piscataway. Say good morning to Bob. Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Peggy. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
That's good to hear. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
The reason for my call, with the colder temps that may be coming in later this week, do I need – my peonies are fully up, and they have flower blooms on them. You know, not blooms, but they have the heads ready to pop. Do I need to cover those with plastic bags, or can they handle anything that's short of like a frost or a hard frost?
Well – it's going to be in the 30s, and if you could cover them just overnight, it would probably be an element of protection that if you don't do, you might be sorry.
Okay, yeah. Now, usually a few years ago, we had a similar situation right when they were getting ready to bloom, and I just get large contractor bags and cover them up with that, and that worked. You know, it kept them safe, so.
Well, I did not do any protecting, and my daffodils survived like nothing had ever happened. But when I went to use my wheelbarrow, there was full of ice.
Yeah.
And I definitely lost some things. Well, I don't know if I lost them, but they were definitely killed back. And it wasn't supposed to freeze. The lowest temperature that was predicted was 37 degrees, but I had ice in my wheelbarrow. So you just, you know, you don't want to take – that's why I thought we were okay. Nothing out there. I didn't have any tender plant material out there. I didn't have, like, tomatoes out there or marigolds or anything that you'd really worry about. Everything that I had out was, you know, peas, spinach. I hadn't planted any flowers, just what was growing out there, the daffodils, which can tolerate cold temperatures. But I had ice in my wheelbarrow, and some of the new growth on different shrubs was definitely killed back. And I lost all the flowers on my camellias and my azalea.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that was very disappointing. So
also, I have a plastic cold frame that I have outside. In that, I have kale and things like that getting ready to be planted. But this weekend, I didn't see the weather ahead of time. I moved all of my zinnia trays and flower trays, marigolds, out into the cold frame. Now, I have two options. One is I can cover that thing up with heavy tarps to keep that relatively warmer. Secondly, I can also put a little heater in there. Do you think the tarp would be enough?
My guess is the tarp would be enough in in a cold frame. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a perfectly sealed cold frame, but it gets, you know, it gets stays kind of warm, like in the 50s overnight. So
I think if you could, you know, tarp it and to keep the heat in, I think you'd be okay.
Okay, yeah, I'll tarp it up then. Oh boy, I'll tell you, it's always something.
It is, you know. You can say that about anything, Bob. It's always something. It's always something. Nothing ever goes 100% smooth, for sure.
No, and the more I'm getting into the gardening and the planting, it's like the more, like your son said, the more weather dependent everything is. And same thing with my peas. They all came up, but they're stagnant. They're just standing there waiting to grow. We have planted lettuces. They popped, but they're not growing. They're staying really small. Yeah, this weather is not helping things, but hopefully on the flip side, once it clears up, it'll be beautiful out and warm, and we'll have a nice season.
Well,
so
the other thing is it hasn't been too hot. We haven't had too many days that are too hot to work. And it's,
right.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be that hot suddenly to make it uncomfortable to work outside because nobody's used to it.
You got that right.
Right, and yeah. There's been a lot of good working weather, and I'm grateful for that. And today should be another one of those days. I have to finish mulching. I'm almost done with the mulching, and that is not work I want to do when it's too hot, when I'm sweating, you know. So I should get that done this afternoon. And after that, I can really concentrate on the veggie garden. So I'm kind of excited about that. But it's been good working weather. So
Yes, it has. You know, to that point, I have a large lilac bush that has very, very old limbs inside of it. They need to come down. They're almost touching the ground. They're bent over so hard. I mean, they're as thick as a person's arm. When I'm waiting for the blooms to come out and to do their thing, can I cut those large branches down once I let the flowers bloom?
Well, with lilacs, it's kind of, you walk a fine line because lilacs are one of those, it's not like a forsythia where they're completely covered in yellow and there's almost no green, and then the green doesn't show up until the flowers fade. With lilacs, it's different. They put out their foliage and their flowers at the same time. So you don't want to wait too long to cut the flowers to cut it back because you're already removing a lot of foliage.
Yeah, but I mean, in this case, the branches I'm cutting back, they're really, really old, and there's not a lot of foliage on them. They're mostly barren with some twiggy-type sticks on them. I mean, this is a gigantic lilac. You know, this thing has been here, since the 40s. I guess my parents probably planted it. So would I be doing much damage to the plant if I took those sticks out and took those branches out now?
No.
Or when would be a good time to do it then?
No.
In the fall?
No. Either my suggestion, if they're not doing anything interesting anyway, you could take them out now.
Okay.
I generally tell people let things bloom and then prune them. But with lilacs, if you let them completely finish blooming, you cut off all the new growth. So I generally tell people to cut them off while they're in bloom and then enjoy the flowers inside, and then you haven't they're still putting out some leaves. So
okay.
You kind of walk a fine line there.
Yeah, I'm taking these stems all the way down to the center of the plant.
Right. Well, that's what you should do because there's three kinds of branches on a lilac. The old growth that gets too woody and doesn't produce any flowers. The intermediate growth that's somewhat mature but not old, and that's what produces most of the flowers. And then there's the new shoots that come up out of the ground that emerge every year. You get a few new suckers every year. And you want to leave a few of them. You want to take some of them. You don't want to leave too many, but you want to leave a few of those to become the intermediate growth in the next year or two. So the oldest growth that you should be taking off way at the base, you can really, if it's not producing any flowers, there's no benefit to keeping it there. So you could take that off now if it's not producing anything. If it is, wait until it's, you know, cut the flowers off and bring a big bouquet inside and then cut them.
That's good advice, and I think that's the one I will follow. Your advice on trimming forsythias, I want your listening audience to know, do what Peggy says, because in the past 50 years, when I've trimmed my forsythias, I've mowed them to the ground, and I let them grow up like a hedge. Well, this time, we took them all the way down 2 years ago, and we let them come back the way you were saying to, and my wife went out last year and trimmed them the way you had recommended. Oh my God, they look so pretty this year. They were really, really nice. They look nice and woodsy and natural, and oh, what a difference. What a difference doing it the right way.
Well, thank you for that endorsement. I appreciate that. I had a farmer friend. His name is Alan Dancer, an amazing gentleman, and he told me the same thing. He went out there and he said it was a real pain because he didn't cut his down. He just had big overgrown ones, and he went in. He said it was a lot of work to get in there and really clean them up without shearing them down to the ground, and he cleaned them out, and he said it was a lot of work, but he was so happy he did it because they looked so much better. So it really does make a difference.
And so now how would we trim them again this year? Just pick the oldest growth out?
And take it out at the base. Yep, that's
okay.
What you do.
Okay. Okay, yeah. They came back really full. I was afraid that they would look really skimpy, but now it looks beautiful. And because they're so wild-looking now, or natural-looking, I should say, it really adds more to the effect of having all of them there.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I do appreciate it,
and thank you,
Bob,
for the advice.
All right. You have a great day. Am I going to see you on the 14th?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was speaking to Jared before I talked to you. I told him a few things, so.
Okay, great. All right. Well, I will see you then. Maybe I'll talk to you before then, and good luck with your projects.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, so I should give the phone number again, 545-9282 outside the 732 area code. It's 1-888-545-9282. So in addition to those gardenias that I bought, on our way home, I was with my cousin, and we stopped at another garden center, and I found a yellow Baptisia.
Oh, nice.
Yes. The Baptisia story is a really good story. I had been collecting Baptisias at Blooming Acres. I think I had six different kinds. Pink, yellow, bluish, burgundy, purple, real deep purple. I think I had six. And they were very close to the house. So when the house burned, everything in that bed I burned. I also had in that bed a beautiful dwarf shrub type purple leafed redbud that was just beautiful, and I lost that too. So that was unfortunate. But in the process of rebuilding the farm in order to sell it, because I never lived there again after it burned. I couldn't really go back. My husband Tommy would often go to the house to supervise the reconstruction. And also, I mean, we kept our animals there until we were able to move the chickens to the new place and the farm was sold and they kept the donkeys. So he would go like every other day. Plus there was one of the contractors was actually living in the house. So he checked on the animals every day while he was there. So they were well taken care of, but he would go there. And actually, he got internet installed in his truck and was able to work on his computer in the truck. It was not something I would care to go through again if we didn't have to. But while he was there, he saw this little plant popping up. It was the only plant popping up in this bed pretty close to the house. It wasn't even a bed anymore. It was just, you know, a construction site. And he dug it out, and it survived. It survived, and it's one of the ones. It's a kind of a burgundy one, and I'm very happy. I couldn't believe he dug it out in full bloom, and we transplanted it. And they don't ordinarily transplant very well, but it has thrived. And since then, I found a pink one, and I really wanted a yellow one. So I finally found the yellow one, and it's in, and I'm thrilled. All right. Well, I should give the phone number. It's 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282, and we will be back after this.
Broadcasting from the